1 Corinthians chapter 3. I know for those of you that have been at Miracle Life for the last few years, we've been doing a lot of building. Land and building and refurbishing and all this kind of stuff. And building programs, pie meetings. Well, I want to announce to you a new building program today. All right? Now, this might be a shock to our board members because I have no approval for this. Just hold on. Just watch. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. A new building program. It's going to be much more costly than the one we're doing. But I think it's going to be far more beneficial than brick and mortar. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. What's the next building project? You. You. No pie meetings, no brochures. God wants to build our lives. And yes, it will be more costly because this building, we made financial sacrifices. We are making financial sacrifices. We'll build more buildings in the future. But how many of you know finances, God says that when we do give, thank God, He returns. And there's a multiplication that takes place. But God is looking for us to give of ourselves to Him for His purposes. 2 years ago, and it was in May, we had two Sundays when we first came into this building. And we dedicated this building to God's purpose and for His plans. And so as long as we're going to be here, this will always be used for God's stuff, for things that are on His agenda, this building, all right? But the Bible says that you and I are a holy habitation. We're a dwelling place of God. And God wants to build our life for His purpose. Now, when we see buildings going up all around us, and if you've been in Lusaka for the past, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, you realize that there's building that's going all around. And sometimes, I don't know if you see a steel structure go up, and sometimes there's a sign that tells you, future home of multi-choice, or this or that, or the certain bank, or whatever it is, going to be flats. But every now and then you see a building going up and there's no sign. You don't know really what's going on until it happens. All right? And I believe if God could put a signboard up in front of us, you know, and it has the architect, has the contractor, the quantity surveyor, the electrical engineer, the structure, all those different people, right? Well, if God could put a signboard up by us, our building site of our lives, first of all, on the signboard, it would be all God. God's the architect. God's the builder. God's the engineer. Amen? But what we do have to do is we have to allow Him to build on our site. We are God's field. We are God's building. Now, so that means that He is going to build according to His purposes and His design. And how many of you know that as the creator of this earth, God is a very good architect? He is an outstanding engineer. He obviously has a PhD in chemistry because He knows all the different... This air is perfect for us to sustain life. And the water and all the vegetables that grow from this earth to sustain our life. He's an expert. So we can trust Him that as... He's already done an incredible building. But Ephesians 2:10 says that... It says that we are God's handiwork. Where is handiwork? Another translation in the original Greek there, it has this idea. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. And it seems like every architect, every designer, every painter, every human creator, and if you remember, you know, in humanities class or history class, there would always be one work that they would describe as their finest accomplishment. If it's a musician, if it was a sculptor, Michelangelo, the David, perfectly designed from one piece of marble, a depiction of David. His painting on the Sistine Chapel. Different people, their literature or their songs that would say, this is their quintessential work. It's the big deal. You know what God's big deal is? It's not Vic Falls. As wonderful as that is. It's not Mount Kilimanjaro. It's not all the beautiful things we see in this earth. You are God's big deal. You are the thing that he points to show the world himself. Because, you know, when you study people here on this earth, that when they create something magnificent and create something beautiful, you remember I told you, I said, before you die, you have to see Cape Town. Before you die, you have to hear Handel's Messiah, done right and done properly, with an orchestra and a band. I don't care if you have to fly to London or South Africa. You've got to hear Handel's Messiah. It was inspired by the Holy Ghost. He wrote it in something like 7 days. It's completely 100% scripture in the Hallelujah chorus. Wonderful thing. But what it tells you something about the mind and the heart of the designer. How awesome they are. If you turn on the radio today and you hear some of the rubbish that is, we call it music, what does it tell you? It tells you about the character of the person that wrote it. It's a reflection of who they are. And we live in a messed up world today, don't we? But so God, he designs us, he creates us, and he's not finished. The Bible says he started a good work. He started a good work in us, Philippians chapter 1 says. That happened at salvation. He's begun. Salvation is not the ending of God's building. It's the foundation. And he builds upon the foundation of Christ Jesus in our life. But there's so much that he wants to do. And so he builds us and he leaves us in a troubled, a broken world. And all of us, we live in a troubled world that's broken. But all of us have tasted brokenness. We've also been troubled in our life. And as we allow God, he begins to put the pieces of our life back together. And he pours in his oil and his wine, the Holy Spirit. And he begins to restore us and make something beautiful out of messed up lives. And so he doesn't just take us to heaven, but he leaves us here for a purpose. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll see so clearly what that purpose is, this design that God has for our life. Matthew 5:13. You, tell your neighbor, this is talking about you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, salt and light, when they show up, something changes. So God leaves us in this world and he puts something in us so that when we show up, something changes. Tell your neighbor, you're a world changer. So God, he says, I'm going to leave you as salt and life, difference makers. The world is different because you were here. You made a difference. You got salty. You influenced. You brought light to a dark place. Let me read this passage to you from the Message Bible. Let me tell you why you are here. Isn't that what everybody's kind of looking for in the whole world? Why am I here? Why do I exist? Well, as a child of God, you have a reason to exist other than just breathing in oxygen and using up the world's resources. No, there's a reason why you're here. Let me tell you why you're here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, do you think I'm going to hide you under a bucket? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Did you hear that? Your life is to help people taste godliness, to bring about God's colors in this world. Because what are we referred to in Scripture as times? We're referred to as the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Jesus is the head, but where does he live? He ascended to heaven. Now, thank God he is coming back for us, his church. But he hasn't come back yet. So he leaves us here on the earth. And you say, well, Pastor, but the Holy Spirit is here. Yes, but where does he live? Is he a wind? Does he just, you know, come whenever we come to church? Whew, the Holy Spirit is moving. No. The Holy Spirit lives in containers, vessels. The Bible says temples. That's you. If you don't go there, guess what? The Holy Spirit doesn't. God prompted two of our members, Basil and Karen, to go to Kosovo. Why? Because God wanted to go there, and he can't go there without a human body. God can't knock on the doors of Muslims and say, hello, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, just introducing myself to you. Watch this. And he becomes manifest as glory. No, he doesn't do that. Could he? Sure he could. Does he? No. He uses his body. He uses his body. And you think, well, Pastor, I don't think I'm going to go to Kosovo and have to eat that food and not have heat in my house. No. You get to shine at the bank, at the university. You get to shine to your husband, to your wife. You get to shine to your children. You get to bring out God's flavors in this world. Now, here's the thing. To be a transforming person, you must first be transformed. If we're not that salty, it doesn't make a difference. I don't know if you've ever tried, if you've ever made food. And I remember growing up, my mom, she knew all the different herbs and flavors and spices and this and that. And so she'd chop up this, put in this, let it sit, and then she'd taste it. She used no recipes. And honestly, she's a gourmet cook. Hallelujah for mom. I hope she has a mansion next to mine in heaven. Go to her house to eat. I think we'll have good food in heaven. All right? It seems that way. But she would just taste it. And she'd say, no, it needs more of this. It needs more basil. It needs more of this. And she'd dump in that. Just right. See, because if you put in all this stuff and it doesn't make an effect, what's the use? It has no use. It's not making a difference. And so God wants you to get into this world. We don't live on a mountain singing kumbaya as monks and having this holy huddle. No, he leaves us here in this crazy, broken, messed up world. And if you've been watching the news, it's getting worse. Has anyone seen that on the news? News flash, it's getting worse. Well, what does he do? He leaves us here, stirs us around, sends us over there so that we can bring about him here. You are the salt of this earth, the light of the world. Now, isn't it interesting that in John chapter 1, John referred to Jesus as the light? He is the light. So who's the light, Jesus or us? Well, when Jesus was here on the earth, sure, he was the light. But now he wants to shine through you, through your life. Amen? Now, one of the things that that Basil and Karen, they have an advantage. That living in Kosovo, every morning they wake up, they look around, and they realize, this isn't home. They look out the window and they see snow, and they realize, we're not in Zambia anymore. But see, here's the other thing that happened. As they go and they walk on the street, everyone is different from them. Correct? But the advantage, and you think, oh, that would be terrible. No, it's an advantage. Because every day of their life, they wake up, they realize, they look outside, they look at the food, they hear the news, it's in a different language, and they realize, we are here for a purpose. We're not here just to live. But the bigger challenge is that when you wake up every morning and it's the same sunrise, the same sunset, the same people, right? The voices are familiar, the TV station you know. You've got to wake up every morning and realize this is not my home. I am a citizen of heaven. I am representing someone else's interests other than my own. Last Sunday, we prayed for one of our members, Mary Zambezi, and we prayed for her, and she's been sent by this nation to the nation of Kenya as a high commissioner. Now, what does that mean? When she goes there, she's not going there for herself. She is representing the government and the people of Zambia in a country other than her own. So when she stands up to speak, she better say what came from Lusaka. Remember a few years ago, there was somebody who didn't. It was called recalled. They said something that didn't represent home. And they said, thank you for your service. I like this phrase. With immediate effect. Remember? Remember that? Well, here's the thing. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, the problem is he leaves you in a place that most of us are very, very familiar with. Well, you know, I'm here for me. I'm here to get a job. I'm here to have a good time. I'm here for, you know, just to bask in the blessings of the Lord. Well, he certainly wants to bless you. And thank God, ambassadors are always taken care of, aren't they? From back home. That's why God said, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches in heaven. You're supported by the economy of the country that sent you. And I'm so glad that there's no recession in heaven. There's no banking crisis in heaven. They're doing just fine. But do you see yourself on this earth representing the kingdom of heaven? Representing the one who sent you. For what reason? To change this world. To make a difference in this world. And that's why Jesus said, I'm going to leave you here and you are to be in the world, but not of the world. You're supposed to taste different. Salt goes into a saltless pot and now it's salty. But what if you are just like the pot? You've absorbed the flavors of where you are instead of you taking your flavor and changing what's around you. That's God's design. That's his plan. Now, you say, well, Pastor, this sounds great. Now, here's the thing. You can't leave this building today and say, okay, I'm going to make a difference. I haven't been, but I'm just going to snap my fingers, and now I'm a difference maker. No, no, something has to happen. Something has to happen. Matthew 28, we were given a great commission. And the reason why it's called the Great Commission is because it's great. It's great. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus said, teach them to observe. That is, teach them to obey. All right, so we don't teach for knowledge sake, we teach for action sake. All right. So he said, I'm going to leave you here. Go make disciples, teaching them to obey all the things I've told you. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is assuming that they're going to obey what they're teaching. How many of you know it's a really bad way to parent a child when you tell your child, you know, smoking is terrible for you. I've heard it can give you lung cancer, emphysema. And it's expensive, stinky. How many know that kind of parenting does not work? Little Johnny, be faithful to your wife. You wanna love your wife. This lady that came home with me last night, don't worry about her. Listen to what I'm saying. Pay little regards to what you see. Just listen to what I say. No, that doesn't work. Paul said it this way to a certain church. He said, the things that you saw in me and you heard me say, do those things. Because in Paul's life, they were the same. What you heard and what you saw was the same. Amen? And so God wants, yes, he wants us to influence, but we have to keep being influenced by the light, by Jesus making a difference in our life. Now, I believe God is going to take us all on a journey, this building program called You. All right? And many of us in this room, we came to a place in our life where we realized our need for Jesus. We needed a Savior. We needed someone to come and change our life, to forgive us of our sins, to wash us. And so we crossed a line of faith. And we said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. And the Bible says something happened called regeneration. We were born again. You've heard me say this, that sometimes people in our city say, oh, that those born-again Christians, those born-again types. There is no other kind of Christian. If you're not a born-again Christian, that means you're unborn. That means you're still of your father, the devil, as Jesus told the Pharisees. You're unregenerated. All right? So we come to this saving faith in Jesus. We cross this line, and we become a new person in Christ. Okay? Now, all of us, we didn't really know anything. We knew very little. Our mind had not yet been renewed. All right. Some of our emotions had not yet been realigned. There was a lot of work that God still needed to do in our life. So we're this new Christian. And hopefully as we walk with God, now we begin to grow in Christ. We're a growing Christian. Now, here's the danger, is that as we begin to grow in Christ, we realize that so much of what we wanted when we were not born again, God provides in his kingdom. How many of you know most people who don't know Jesus, they want a good job. They want to be financially responsible. They want a happy marriage, right? They want to be able to raise their kids. They want a body that's healthy and whole, right? People that don't know Jesus, they want all those things. Well, you come into the body of Christ and you realize, oh, most of all those cool things, they're in the Bible. I can have a great marriage. I can have money in the bank. God will help me become responsible with my money. Oh my goodness, I can own my own house. There's a verse about that. This is cool. Oh, this is awesome. And so you come into the body of Christ, and if we're not careful, you think Christianity is all about you. Lord, my name is Jimmy, and I'll take all you'll give me. Bless me and my four and no more. Now, this church is unashamedly charismatic. If you were here last week, you realize that. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the move of God. All right. We believe in the present ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, but here is a big, big problem among us charismatics and Pentecostals. Is we just sometimes stop with us. I dare you, and it might actually not be a great idea, because it could be hazardous to your spiritual health. But if you watched Christian TV for 12 hours straight, I can't watch certain programs, okay? I hope you can't either. But if you watched it for 12 hours straight, just kind of take note, what percentage of what everybody's saying is about you? How great your life is going to be. And if you give a certain amount, oh my goodness, then really, oh my goodness, all these blessings, oh, listen to these testimonies, oh, life is going to be so great. You're going to love it. Huh? And so if you watched Christian TV for 12 hours straight, you would think that the whole Bible is so that you can be happy. Does it include your happiness? It does. But it also includes God's happiness. It's not just about your needs being met, but it's about displaying who God is in this world. Salt, light. The Bible refers to it as God's glory, who He really is. If you're single, let me ask you, why do you want to get married? Well, I'm getting old. I want to have kids. I'm tired of sleeping by myself. I'm tired of being made fun of. I'm tired of my family pressuring me. Why, you're 32 years old. What's the matter with you? I need, oh gosh, wow, the movies. Look, oh man, to have a husband. Oh, to have a wife like that. Oh, my life will be so awesome. And I'm going to be doing one of these weddings next Saturday. And I love weddings. I love that part of my job. And I'll stand right here. And Davis and Chilma are going to turn around. They're going to walk down that aisle. And all their friends are going to be, woo, dancing and having a great time. The aunties are going to go crazy. And I'll be smiling. But also in my mind, I'm going to be thinking, do you realize what you've done? And all the married people said, it's not all fun and games. Have you ever thought that getting married is more than just you and having free food? A chef and a shoulder masseuse. Oh, honey, let me rub your shoulders. Oh, thank you, baby. Oh, yeah, it's been a hard day. Have you ever thought that maybe, and that's fine, rub shoulders, cook food, but there's a higher reason for marriage? It's to glorify God. It's to show forth Him. It's to be salt. It's to be light. It's so that people can look at your marriage and say, what is wrong with you? That doesn't look like the movies. Wow, I see God. I see sacrifice. If you're a man and you're at work, and the guy said, hey, let's stop for a cold one. Come on, we need to talk about nothing at all for the next 3 hours. Let's go to the pub. And you say, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to go be with my wife. She's had a hard day. She's been a little bit under the weather. I'm going to go serve her. I'm going to sacrifice for her. Woo, you talk about salt. You talk about the glory of God. See, there's a higher reason for living, and it's to shake this world. And it's not just to proclaim it from a pulpit. And there will be some that will do that. But it's to go into a crazy world and make a difference. It's to stand up in a board meeting and say, no, I'm not going to change the numbers. You're going to be accountable for what you've done. It's to look that person across the desk and say, no, I will not give you a discount for 10% under the table. In fact, I'm reporting you to your boss and I'm reporting you to my boss. Because enough is enough. Well, I believe the government should do more about corruption. Why don't you do something about corruption? You're the salt. You're the light. And we don't need legislation to make a change in this nation. We need Christians who will make a difference in this nation. and more with more than just banners walking down the street. Now, it's fine to walk down the street and have a parade, but then go live differently when the parade is finished. I got caught in traffic, oh my goodness, for hours the other day, having a parade. And I just thought, you know what? What's going to happen as a result of this parade? Probably nothing. Probably nothing. Amen. How many of you know God loves to take care of our financial needs, right? He's a father. He's a good God. Amen. But how many of you would be willing to say, you know what? You remember the movie, the TV show? Who wants to be a millionaire? Right? Well, what if we ask that question today? Who wants to be a millionaire? My hand's up. Multi, please. Double, triple. I mean, come on, what a crazy name for a show. What about if who doesn't want to be a millionaire? Of course, nobody would say, I don't want to be a millionaire. But let me ask you, for what reason? For what reason do you want to be a millionaire? We had a wonderful board meeting this week. We're going over finances and different things like that, looking at the future. We had a great meeting yesterday with our strategic planning team. You know what? This church tomorrow could build and do for the vision today. Different buildings, save money, get all of our staff in one place. Children's rooms are completely full, chock-a-block. Kids are running over each other. We need a room for single and youth to raise up another generation. We need a chapel for teachings and weddings. We don't have to go to Unza Chapel all the time. Tomorrow, we could sign contracts for $5 million. Tomorrow, easy. We could spend $5 million. Who wants to be a millionaire for God's purposes? That means you get to be a millionaire and still drive your same car. That means you get to be a millionaire and maybe stay in the same house. No, thank you. Well, you're selfish. You're selfish. And you're a baby. A baby just cries for its own needs, right? Feed me. Change my nappy. I've got a fever. A grown-up person walks over to the kitchen, feeds himself, takes two panados, washes his face and says, all right, I'm going to be a blessing to the world. Guess what, guy? It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Does God want you to have a car? Sure, He wants to flow through you. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, it'd be really great. Yeah, I could give $1 million and then my name could be on the building. And then everyone would know I did it. No. No name. No one knows. Huh? No special seating. But just a few people who say, you know what? I have a knack for making money. I just know how it works and I know how to move things around. And it's just, I just seem to know how to do that. Well, how about saying, God, you gave me this talent just by chance. Maybe you want to use that for you and not just for me. Is that possible? Of course it is. Of course it is. He made us to be light. Last couple weeks, God has really blessed us as a church. I think last week we had 23 people born again. Born again, just right here. And we're not doing enough of what we should do to reach the world in evangelism. But what's happening? What about, and you say, well, Pastor, that's great, you know. All these people are going to be, who are getting saved. Who's going to teach them the basics of Christianity? Who's going to receive their call at midnight when they've fallen back into sin and they're ready to leave Jesus because of disappointment? Who's willing to take them to the clinic to get tested for HIV because they're living in fear because of their past? Who's willing to take money out of their own pocket to help with school fees and food and help them? Who's willing to do that? Oh, Pastor, that's your job. Well, here's the thing. I do all of that. My wife and I today do all of that. Do all of that. My wife told somebody last night, I'm leaving my phone on the whole night. If you need me, call me. Because there was a big problem. We take money out of our own pocket, not out of the church account, out of our own pocket to help people. But I'm asking you, that's not just the pastor's job. It's the body of Christ's job to say, you know what, all these people that are getting born again, who's going to look after them? Who's going to take them by the hand and teach them? And see, here's the thing. If you've been here for 6 months, you know more than they know. Well, I'm just waiting to get my PhD in extra special theology. Well, go ahead and get the PhD, but let God use you today. See, it's about not just allowing God to get to us, but living a life that is centered in Jesus. In Jesus. Turn with me, last scripture, and then we're going to receive communion. This is the body of Christ. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Now, the glory of God, again, is when God can be seen for who he really is. In the Old Testament, there were these public displays of God's glory, a cloud and fire and all the God, in a sense, God went public and showed who he was. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. When you go out and you look at the stars at night and you think, wow, God, you are awesome. That's why I did it. That's why I put it there. But his greatest display of his glory is not the stars, but you. To display so that God can be seen. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, right? Who's a disciple of Jesus? Raise up your hand if you're a follower of him. Amen? So this is Jesus speaking to you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. And it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified. What does that mean? He's seen. He's on display. So how is my Father glorified? By wild breakthrough services. Here's how my Father is glorified. That you bear much fruit. You, not me, Jesus is saying. It's not me, Jesus, being the star attraction. It's not me doing my Jesus stuff and drawing crowds and telling the guy, take up your bed and go home. No, it's you, my disciples, bearing much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Let me read it to you from the Message Bible. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes. When you mature as my disciples. God desires to show who he is through your fruitful life. You have a design. You have a purpose. It is wonderful. It is glorious. It is awesome. And Basil and Karen will tell you, yeah, we've had hard times. Yeah, we've had some situations. But you know what? The glory outweighs the sacrifice. The results of seeing Muslim people give their hearts to Jesus. And how many of you know when he showed those pictures of churches, they weren't big churches. In Zambia, we would call those connection groups. Right? But to make a difference and share the word of God with starving people, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And does he want your needs to be met? Yes. Does he want your marriage to be wonderful and enriched? Absolutely. But for more than the reasons that some of us think, it's also for his glory. It's to display who he is. And maybe your life is messed up and maybe it is broken. But when God puts the pieces back together, what happens is people will say, what happened to you? I remember you from 5 years ago. We were at the nightclub together. You didn't look like you do now. You don't talk the way. You don't smell the way. You're not buying the same stuff. You are different. You are salty. And so when people see what God does, then you can say, you know what? It's about my Savior Jesus. And what He did for me, He can do for you. And when your family members, you can be the first person in your family not to have a divorce. You can be the first man not to cheat on his wife. When you lose your temper, you can punch the pillow instead of your wife's nose. And you can show forth the glory of God in your family. And people will see and be pointed to Jesus. God can show up in this messed up, crazy world through you. Through you. Well, Pastor, what are we going to do as a church? What are we going to... No. And we're going to talk about some stuff we're going to do as a church. But who's the church? You're the church. You're the church. You are His building. You are His field. And you know what? He's a master builder. He's a master builder. Amen? Let's let Him work in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much. Oh, we thank You for Jesus. Thank You for that His mercy, Your mercy never ends, never is finished. And Father, no matter where we are on this journey, no matter where we are, and maybe, Lord, there's some that are just starting. There's other people, maybe, Father, that have been with You for years, but they, in a sense, they feel stuck, Lord. They feel like things aren't moving and changing. But Father, I thank You that in Jesus' name that they are. We allow You to work in our life. Lord, make us more salty than ever before. Turn up the wattage of our globes, of our lightness, as You become more and more who You are in our lives. Father, we need that. But God, there's a crazy, crazy mixed up world all around us, and they need it. They need us to be who we've been created to be. God, You've left us here. And Lord, we can't wait for heaven, and it's going to be so wonderful, and it's going to be so glorious. But thank You, Father, for leaving us here for a brief, short time, just a vapor, You say, to bring heaven down here, to bring who You are in the midst of a dark world. Father, thank You. We are the people. We are the generation that can make a difference. We are the generation. We are the people that the world will say, something happened because of them. Something happened because of them. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here in this place, God loves you and He cares about you. And He wants to make a difference in your life. But it all starts not with you getting more serious, more dedicated. I'm just going to go to church more. No, it happens when you give your life to Him. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, He is still calling men and women. And He's calling you today, follow Me. Follow Me. I'll make you. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. All the broken areas of your life, the things that hurt, the things that don't make sense, He can fix it all. He's got that power, and He'll do it for you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, but I want to. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian, a Christian that's far from God. You've turned your back on Him. Your life is messed up. There's stain from sin and hurt. It's time to come home to a Father who will restore you and love you and cleanse you. This is your day. This is your day. God's calling you. He's calling you. What will your response be? Don't run from God. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. If you say, Pastor, I'm ready. I want to meet Jesus. I want to know Him. I want to come home. I'm a Christian that's far from God, but I want to come home today. If that's you, raise up your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. Oh, I know that today's my day. I needed to hear this, and I'm turning to Him. Wherever you are in this auditorium, simply raise up your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. Anyone at all. Anyone at all. You're important to God. He loves you. He cares for you. Just lift it up real high. I don't want to miss anybody. Anybody at all? Yes. Anyone else? Anyone else? Wonderful, wonderful. Those of you that raised your hand or you say, I wish I would have raised my hand, I want you to come grab whatever you brought with you to church. I want you just to come to meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front right now. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I need to give my heart to Jesus. I want to know Him. I want to experience Him for myself. Just come right now. Just come right now. He loves you. He cares for you. Anyone at all? I believe there was a hand. And there might be other people that God's dealing with you, your heart. Just come. Yes, wonderful, wonderful. Just come. God bless you, man. He loves you. Today is your new beginnings. Everything changes from right now. From right now. Wonderful. God bless you, man. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. God bless you, sir. God bless you, man. The Bible says that what God wants to give you, forgiveness, new life, it's a gift. It's free, okay? So you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it, but you do have to receive it, all right? If I was going to give you this Bible, you just reach out and receive it, all right? So that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray a prayer. You're going to pray it from your heart, and you're going to receive this wonderful gift that God has for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Just close your eyes with me right now and lift up one of your hands towards heaven and say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died in my place. He was raised from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my heart, my whole life. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn away from my sin and I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus. I belong to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.